Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
And then, I do the callback. And they're like, we love you. It's amazing. You got to stick around. So I stayed there for a couple of days. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, it's not going to happen. So then I fly back.
Oh, no.
And then they're like, okay, we want you to do the chemistry read. And we're bringing in the executives. I'm like, oh, I don't have. Okay, I will figure it out.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning in, this is the show where I speak to fellow actors about their journey in the industry and a whole lot of other things, as you'll see in today's episode. What do I want to talk about with y'all at the start of this? I don't have a whole lot of new things to share. It's been a little difficult because I am pre-recording these because I have other things going on. And so I've been pre-recording these episodes so that I can stay on schedule with you guys. But one thing I have failed to mention so far in my recaps with you all is that during the strike, we had the SAG-AFTRA elections. And I was elected to the Los Angeles local board. And I am so thrilled to be there and to represent our community. And one of my big missions within SAG-AFTRA politics has been to focus on and help our young performers. Since I was one, it's something I'm very passionate about, and I'm excited to be that voice for them on the board and in the convention, which I hope we will resume soon. And I just feel super honored. So if you're listening to this and you voted for me in the SAG-AFTRA elections, this is a very delayed thank you. But thank you, and I hope we can get a lot done over these next couple years and really serve our members how they need to be served. Enough about me. Let's get to today's guest. Today I have Jonathan Stoddard. He has been in literally so many things, I can't even sit here and name them all to you because he's done so much. But he has a new Christmas movie coming out, which we will talk about a little bit. But we really veered off the norm here, and we talked about quantum physics and culinary things. He did most of the talking and I did most of the wowing, but it was a very fun conversation and I'm so happy to have met him. So here is my conversation with Jonathan Stoddard. And welcome to the show, Jonathan!
Hello, hello. Good to be here.
I'm very excited to have you here. It's exciting to have somebody who is so involved in Christmas on the show just in time for Christmas.
Well, I do. I've started noticing my own trend of doing a lot of like Christmas stuff, and it's very interesting. It's fun. It's a weird world, so to speak.
Yes. Well, we will get to all of that, but the first thing I always like to ask my guests on the show is, what made you want to be an actor?
Oh, that's a great question. So, I don't know how much work you've done on researching me, but I've had a couple different lives. Like, I went to school for physics. I went to culinary school. I've been a professional photographer for a while. So the really interesting idea of settling in on photography has always come down to the fact that there's, like, I literally made out a list. It was a logical concept. And there was nothing else. There was nothing else in the world that I can imagine or think of that forced human introspection, compassion, expansion, growth, creativity, traveling, learning new things, like forced communication, active listening. Nothing in the world kind of covered all of those things to be able to become, an expert in the craft. Mm. So I became an actor.
Wow, that is quite the journey. Tell me a little bit about physics and all of these past lives. I personally am such a big champion for people who come into acting with different degrees and different experiences, because it just makes you a better actor.
Yes.
And I think, I mean, I love to hear this. Tell me everything.
I don't know what got me into physics, but the quantum world is absolutely fascinating. I think as a kid, you know, when we're going through that rebellious phase, and my parents are psychiatrists, so there was a lot of exploration about humanity and conversating and compassion for other people and all that kind of stuff. But then there were also rules. So psychology is really transient, and there's a lot of justification and explanation. And the only way that it makes sense is based off of the culture, what's accepted culturally in that situation. So psychologically, one thing might be okay in one place, but then not in another. And the only other thing that I found that kind of explored that those ideas of thinking were the quantum world. Rules do not apply. There are black holes everywhere in the quantum world. Particles are in like 13 different places, or molecules are in 13 different places at once, at the very least. String theory and it was just so fascinating. And I remember watching documentaries as a kid and just being like, a world with no rules. This is so cool. And then there was a lot of sci-fi in the late 80s and 90s for movies. And I just got sucked into that world. And it was just very, very cool. And so I wanted to explore it on a deeper level, went to school for it. And it wasn't as cool in school.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up going kind of like the physics route of cooking and health and nutrition, and then went to the culinary world instead.
Wow. Have you ever seen the movie? I think it touches on quantum physics. I saw it when I was literally like 12 years old on set. It was called What the Bleep Do We Know?
I was hoping you were going to say that. Yes. Did you end up seeing the second one?
I haven't seen the second one. No, I didn't know there was a follow-up.
So, something that was really cool. I actually just met Marley like 2 days ago.
No way.
And I mean, not only is she a phenomenal actress from winning the Oscar back in the day, but then also she was being the main character in that and doing, you know, exploring self-love and hidden messages in water and all of that. Yeah, I saw that in the theater and I was like, oh, this is me. I love this.
Wow.
It's cool. It's very cool. I love that you know that.
You know, it was one of those things. I think I was working on like a pilot when I was 12 or 13, and it was in the Fox store, like the Fox Lot store. And me and my other friends who were working on the show, we were like, oh, that looks kind of interesting. And so we popped it in for like our school hours. And then we all just sat there like, what the hell just happened? Just mind blown.
Have you done follow-ups on the water studies and things like that? Or have you revisited it throughout your life?
No, but now I think I need to, because I feel like this is a sign that I should.
It's kind of wild, right? Because growing up is hard.
Yeah.
It's weird interacting and weird times with the world and career and everything. And so every now and then I'll revisit, especially the water studies, heart math and water studies and all that kind of stuff. And it's really fascinating. You know, depending on what kind of journey you're on, but it's just, yeah, it's really cool. It's cool. You should revisit it. It's different as an adult looking at stuff that, you know, blew our minds when we were kids.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to now. That's like going to be top priority for me this week. Tell me about your culinary journey. Were you in the kitchen like the bear? What was going on there?
Kind of.
Yeah.
So I went to the CCA, Le Cordon Bleu, and I'm going to preface it with saying back when it was actually really good, no offense, alma mater. And like there was the CIA, at least within the United States, right? There was the CIA, Culinary Institute of America in upstate New York, and there was the CCA. And the CCA was kind of like right behind the CIA for everything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, my mom, being an avid cook, was just like, son, you're going to learn how to cook. You're not going to be one of those men that you grow up and you're going to be like, honey, make me something. Like, I'm going to teach you now. You are going to learn. And also, again, with my parents being doctors, there is a lot of correlation. Like, labeling was becoming a really big thing in the 80s. So ADD, ADHD, dyslexia. Mm-hmm. They were throwing things out like Tic Tacs. And through my studies and through physics and everything, and then through the study of the brain. And I mean, I'm a kid, but for whatever reason, I was exposed to and really latched onto this stuff. Food, going back to Socrates and ancient Greek, you know, medical, everything. Food is our medicine. Mm. And there's a lot of deficiency and malnutrition that ends up correlating to certain kinds of like ADHD or problems or high sugar and body issues, all this kind of stuff. So I ended up going into that because I just love people and I love being of service and I love healing and I love that whole journey of the mind and the body and everything. And so I really dove into that hard when I was a kid and went to the CCA and I was the last program. And then Iron Chef came out.
Oh my gosh.
And they dumbed down the program. Mm. They commercialized it, dumbed it down. Unfortunately, the CCA ended up popping up schools left and right. Mm. And I've gone back and I've talked to my chefs. I know this is a little tangential, but I've gone back and I've talked to my chefs and they've said, they're like, John, it's so hard because Advanced Garmager, all the specialized classes that made the program so fantastic, we can't do anymore because we can't commercialize it. Mm. So they've had to really restrict it. And that's the creativity of culinary and everything. And it is a hard world. The kitchen is a tough world.
Yeah. Well, isn't that just kind of a metaphor for everything that's happening right now in the world where everything just needs to be commercialized? So we dumb it down or we make it easier to access and not easier to access in a bad way, but easier to access in a way that doesn't make somebody want to fully be there. Like you can just do it because you can do it. You don't have to like have the passion or the full drive to do it.
Yeah. We've made like 80% of the information, right? The 80-20 rule. Mm-hmm. You've made like 80% of the information available to everyone. Mm-hmm. But what makes something really exciting, even within acting, right? As you know, it's like what makes it exciting is not just being able to jump up on stage. It's that 20%. It's that extra mile that you go. And that's when you feel accomplished. That's the pride. That's the joy. That's the service that you get to give to others and change their lives and inspire them. Mm. And we don't teach that anymore. We just teach kind of like enough to get by.
Yeah. It's always that way. It's like, here's just what you need to actually get through the day. And it's
right.
Like, whoa, wait a second. What if I want a little more? What if I want a little extra?
Right.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and then we'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
And back to the show. So tell me then how you made this transition into acting. Like, what was your steps? Because I'm sure a lot of people will find this interesting, especially for people who maybe want to enter the industry and have no idea to how to, as like an adult. Like, how did you find your agent and get start booking things? What was that?
Oh man. Because did you, as you know, it's changed.
Yeah.
So much.
It has.
Like, I'll say this, in the culinary world, the reason I went to acting is because being a chef means you don't cook anymore. You manage a restaurant, and it's about vendor relationships. And so all the passion is stripped away. So I was like, screw this. I don't want to do it. And I was cooking in. I met were happy. Nobody was happy. Mm. And they all had like family issues or back problems. And you can't take a sick day off from a restaurant.
No.
Good luck, not when you're running it. And so I asked myself that question. What would I do if I was a multimillionaire? What would I do for free? And I think that's a really important, maybe one of the biggest things that I could convey out of your question, right? Because do you remember those memes? They were going around where it was like, a photographer, and it goes, what my parents think I do, and it's photographing babies and families. Mm-hmm. And then it's what my friends think I do, and it's photographing supermodels on the beach. And then there's what I really do, and it's sitting in front of a computer editing.
Yes. Yes.
Right? It's like, no one's going to tell you that acting, it's the 80-20, less than 20%
yeah.
is actually good.
5%.
Let's get real. Yeah. Is actually going to be on set.
Yeah.
The rest of it is what you have to do and what you have to make of it. And that's the auditioning. That's the studying. That's the reading. That's the relationships. That's learning how to give and take and how to show up and how to not show up. Because a lot of, I'm starting to notice the older I get and the further I get in my career, a lot of it is not showing up to the things that don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to go to the event. I don't want to go to the party. I don't want to hang out with these people that are more interested in partying versus actually building an incredible life or a career.
Yep.
So I don't want to show up to that. What I want to show up for are meeting cool, inspiring people that are making change and progress within the industry and helping others. What I want to show up for is putting together creative ideas and telling great stories and all that kind of stuff. But that's trying to learn. It's just a really interesting educational process for sure.
I think too, like in the, I remember probably it was like 2008 through, I don't know, 2016. There was this weird boom of events, right? Like there was like an event every day, and then you were supposed to go to all of them, but then also maintain your career and keep auditioning and do all this stuff. And I remember being, you know, a teenager and going to all these things all the time. And there was a point when I think I hit like 17, 18, where I was just like, I won't do it. I don't want to go. Like, I just want to go to Bob's Big Boy with my friend and like have a vanilla Coke and get up and study for my audition the next day. Like, I don't want to do that stuff anymore. And I think, you know, it's an important part, especially for people who are just entering this industry, of knowing where that line is. Like, all the events, not all of them are going to be, you know, top-notch things where you're going to meet that one person who's going to change your career. It's not going to be that. Most of them are just people there constantly, and it's usually the same people over and over and over again.
Yeah,
and you're like, okay,
it is.
I'm good.
Well, and it's really, really interesting because it is. It's the same people over and over, and they just kind of party hop, but they never really do very much.
Anything, yeah.
And if they did something, it was that one thing a long time ago, and they're writing the residuals or something, which we're in a weird time right now.
Yeah.
Back then, you could get that one job that maybe made a difference.
Yeah.
You can't really get that
It doesn't work now.
any. It doesn't work like that. Or at least the percentage is getting so much smaller. Now it's about who's committed, who's dedicated, who's willing to stay through things like the strike, or who's willing to make the sacrifices and work and build and create content in a different kind of way without, and I want to be really careful saying this, without selling out.
Yeah.
And I say selling out really delicately because, we have a lot of opportunities to make money now, with social media and all that kind of stuff. We have a lot of really interesting ways that people are trading in their passions and then incredibly unhappy. And I have a lot of friends who've done it, where they're like, no, I'm going to get into social media and then I'm going to use that to fund my acting and I'll direct and I'll write and do all that. But you figure it out in social media and the money's too good and they never come back. But they're also, when I talk to them, they're so unhappy and they're so distracted and it becomes this wild prison. We're at a very interesting time of you can feel famous without being famous. You can be an actor without being an actor. You can do short form sketch comedy, which is technically on a screen. And it's like we're trying to redefine, I think, as an industry and as a people, of what kind of information we digest and ingest and all that kind of stuff. And it's just becoming interesting. I don't know. I don't know. It's we have like popcorn skits and all that kind of stuff, but then people get really tired of that and they want something substantial, like a real meal. So I guess a lot of social media can be like empty calories, like drinking beer, and then people get the beer belly because they haven't moved, because all they've been doing is scrolling their phones, and they just want like a good hearty meal, and they want like that story that's going to move them and make me feel like a real live person and not AI, right? Which is the whole thing.
Yeah. I could talk about that
Don't know. I
for
can go on.
hours.
Yeah.
I think
Yeah.
you bring up an interesting point though, which is that, I believe that, the reason that we keep going back to older films and older TV shows and you want to re-binge Gilmore Girls or anything from before about 2010, you want to keep watching
Yeah.
everything. And
Yeah.
I think it's because it wasn't focused on, how do we commercialize it? How do we sell it to the point of it not having any heart? Or how do we, use social media in a way that's going to like force people to watch it? And the older stuff just feels different because
It
it
feels different.
feels like it has an actual heart. And it's hard to try and figure out how to bring that back in an industry, especially right now when we're seeing, AMPTP studios, all of them trying to force us into a way that we maybe don't want our craft to go. And it's interesting to watch this explosion happen of the entertainment industry and of our craft. I think the
We're
next
living it.
10 years is going to be super telling.
We are living in history. Before, it took a while for us to really like keep an eye on history. Something would happen, and then, it's the Malcolm Gladwell. It takes a tipping point. We could witness the change. It was a whole thing. We're in change all the time right now. It's really like you're watching history. AI was just started really becoming a commercialized thing like less than a year ago.
And now you look at it and it's the things that it can do
It's
is
everywhere.
terrifying.
Yeah,
It's
my text
terrifying.
messages AI auto-populate, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's wild. But yeah, I could speak about AI for quite
Yeah,
forever.
it's a
It's
thing. Yeah.
a thing. I want to talk to you though about, the moment when maybe you realized on set, like, oh man, this is where I'm supposed to be. I should be doing this. I'm on the right track. Do you have that moment?
I do. It's a little bit of a dark story, but I can tell it in a light way.
Okay. We can go dark. Don't
Well, yay, Merry Christmas.
worry.
So So I, in short, basically, I left Italy. I slept on a couch, and I was like, I did a lot of theater when I was a kid, for summer programs, because I'm the youngest of four. So my parents were like, oh, you know, by the time I came around, they were like, oh, they're harder to kill than we thought. So we don't have to like pad the corners and doorknobs anymore, like take off the padding off the edges of tables. If they get a dent, it'll grow back, or its personality. They're fine. So I was just really hyperactive. And so they're like, go to after-school programs, sports and theater, do it. And so when I moved to LA and I slept on a couch and I started doing extra work, because nobody in my family has any knowledge of this industry at all. So I did this entirely by myself, feeling my way through the dark, stumbling my way brutally through the dark, started doing extra work and all this stuff. And then parkour was becoming big, and I was like, I'm gonna learn a new skill. So I did parkour, and then I fell and I cracked my head open.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, brick fell on me. It was great. And I was like, I can't act anymore. Like, there's no way. I just can't. And I've got like a scar on my head. And so I left acting about a year and a half in, and it was right when the last writer's strike was happening back in 2006, 2008. Or 2008 is about when all that was going on, when SAG-AFTRA merged. And so I left, I got back into restaurants, and then I got rescouted by a dear friend of mine now in Northern California, which is where I'm from. And I started just doing like, you know, little things here and there, and commercials and projects and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, I was booking all the time, and I was like, oh, maybe I should really give this a shot. And I moved down with my girlfriend at the time, and the darkness is that I was about 32. It was right before I turned 32, and she and I separated, and it was after 5 years of a relationship, and it was easily one of the most destructive and hardest things I've ever gone through, because she was kind of going in and out of things with rehab and stuff like that. And so I wanted it was a lot about my identity as a man, as a human being, to be by her side throughout all this. And I have to accept, obviously, full responsibility for where I let myself go. And I went to like just a very hard place caring for someone else. And so at the bottom, I was completely destroyed as a human being, everything, couldn't see a way out. And I decided, you know what? I am going to Queen of England this. I'm going to marry the throne. And I'm going to commit my life to acting. I'm going to start journaling every night. I'm going to start, because quantum physics and the quantum world also really touches on spirituality, manifestation, vibration, energy, everything. And I was like, I am going to, talking about sell out, I am going to sell out to the process, and I'm going to marry the throne. And I did that, and I started taking action, and I worked inside. And within, it's one of the coolest things that I love talking to young actors about. I didn't get new headshots. I didn't all of a sudden get a six pack. I didn't work out. And in fact, I was surviving off of gas station food because I was so poor. I developed at 31 adult acne, where if I shaved, like I was destroying my face.
Oh my gosh.
It was so tough. But as soon as I made this commitment and I sold my life to the process and to what I needed to do and just trusted the journey, within 3 months, I was the top commercial booker at Daniel Hoff. Within about a year, I was on Young and the Restless and Showtime shows and things like that. And I've been full-time for the last 7 years, and it
Wow.
hasn't slowed down. And I think I've done about a movie a month for the last, every month for the last 3.5 years.
Dang.
And it's now I'm looking at, you know, making a shift. And nobody told me how to do this. I just kind of decided I'm going to be everywhere, and I'm going to figure
Yeah, I think, you know, manifestation. I'm trying to think.
I know, that was
Manifestation
a
and
lot. That
the
was
no. It's good. I get it. It's this industry's so flipping hard if you don't let go, right? Let go in the sense of, I can't control anything, but I'm going to control what I can, and I'm going to use positive thinking and manifestation and all the things to help me through this. But I'm not going to stress about every single thing every single day, because you have to let the process do the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
As I sit here it with works my
if you work it.
Board.
Wait, what's the board? Is that your dream board?
Yeah, it's my dream board. Yeah. It's up here. It's right here.
Yes.
It's hanging out. I have it at my desk. You got to be able to visualize what you want, right? You have to know that it's going to happen. Otherwise, it's just not going to.
Have you noticed that weird thing where you put things on your vision board and then it could, even if you don't really focus on it, like a year or two later, you're like, wait, I put a place on my vision board and I'm there.
Yeah.
Or I wanted this and now that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely have had those moments of realization where I'm like, oh, wow, that was something that I put on my board a couple of years ago. Cool. That's interesting. Love it.
It's so wild.
You just add to it. And you just keep going, right? You just keep visualizing and figuring out what it is that you want your life and your career to look like. Yeah. Well, on the show, we like to share audition stories of the past.
It's about that time.
They can be sad. They can be the one that got away. Do you have a story you'd like to share with the listeners?
Okay. So, I mean, there's like little fun things like, oh, I auditioned for the CW Superman. They obviously went a different direction. There are like little things here and there, right? But there's one audition that the movie never got made.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
But this was, you know, it's funny because if I, you know, go through my journals, I even have recordings on my phone, just through the recording app and stuff, of like just getting excited that I like got to booked on a Chase extra job or that I got a callback. So I wasn't a working actor at this point, and I was just starting to like really commercials were, I mean, I guess I was a working actor, but I was more in the commercial world. And I had this audition for a movie called Black Rose, and they were selling it as like, you know, we have a big name attached, blah, blah, blah. And it's out of Atlanta. So I scrape the money together and I fly out to Atlanta. I do the audition and then I fly back. And then literally I get back and within a couple hours, they're like, we're going to bring you in for a callback 2 days from now.
You're like, I guess I'm just going to stay at the airport.
So now when you don't have money, right? $5 is a lot. $10 is a lot, let alone a last minute trip to Atlanta round trip.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we need you to stick around just in case there's a chemistry read. And the chemistry read is going to be with Elizabeth Moss.
Oh, my God.
And you'd be playing opposite Elizabeth in this movie. And you're so far the first choice. And they really, really love you. And I was like, amazing. Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is going to be so cool. So I scraped together the money. I think I borrowed the money because I didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
I borrowed the money. I fly back to Atlanta. Not going to happen. So then I fly back.
Oh no.
And then they're like, okay, we want you to do the chemistry read and we're bringing in the executives. I'm like, oh, I don't have, okay, I will figure it out. So I figure it out. My dad helped me and I think someone else, I like pulled together from like 10 friends. I'm like, guys, please support, you know, the early form of GoFundMe. So I go out there and I arrive at the chemistry read and I'm sitting in the office and she's like, oh, and there's someone else there, who's playing one of the other characters that they're doing the chemistry for. And they're like, oh yeah, it's going to be really cool. You know, blah, 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 this scene, that scene. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
All I've done are these scenes. And they go, your agent, who's not my agent, my agent now is not this person. But I was like, wait, what? We had different scenes for the chemistry read and my agent didn't tell me. And it's 2 scenes, 6 pages.
Oh no.
And I'm going in 15 minutes.
Oh no.
Okay.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, I mean, talk about like, whoo. So anyway, all I can say is I went in there. I mean, the movie never got made, so that's not on me. but I I rocked it. You know, it's those little moments as an actor that you figure it out and you strengthen the muscles to be able to like, I'm going to go in, I'm going to rock it. You know, what's important, what's not, how can I hyper learn this as fast as possible, still perform in some kind of an authentic way. And met the EPs and everyone was great. Elizabeth wasn't there, but they had me do chem reads with other people. And it was really fantastic. And then I was pinned for a long time. And then they said that it was purchased. The rights were purchased by someone else. They were going a different direction. I think it was going to be like Lion. I don't know. Somebody, a bigger studio or something, got it. And then they never ended up making the movie because I can't, you know, you go on.
You go on IMDb. You're like, who did it?
I'm going to check. Who did it? And a lot of the times, right, you look and you're like, okay, yeah, they went Asian. I can't compete with that. Like, if they did white guy, blah, 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 who looks like me.
Yep.
But otherwise, different ethnicity. Yeah, okay, cool. Good on you. Like, sure, that's great.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a bummer. And you were out so much money.
And it took a while to pay that back.
Oh, my God.
Because commercials don't pay, like, the next day. You're looking at 30, 60, 90 day out. And even residuals, that was quarterly at the time. And, you know, every 13 weeks. Ugh.
Yikes.
That was an experience.
That's painful to listen to, truly. Oh, my God. So what's next for you? You've got some more movies coming out. What's on the horizon in your life?
I've got another Christmas. So I had a Christmas movie come out on Hulu, called A Christmas Frequency, with Anzi Gordon and Denise Richards and just great people. And so that came out earlier this year, like last month. And then I have another one coming out December 23rd called A Royal Christmas Holiday. Kind of do the British Prince thing every now and then.
Oh.
Yes.
We got a prince on our hands.
Yeah, every once in a while. I don't know why. I mean, there's so many people who can. Well, of course I know why.
You have a prince look about you.
Apparently, but that's a whole other story for another time. But the whole British prince thing is great. That's fun. So that comes out December 23rd, and then going into next year, I'm actually really excited about next year. I've got some really cool projects lined up that kind of push the boundaries of genre and period. And I don't know how to say what I want to say necessarily, but it's just going to be a very exciting step in my career to have been working as hard as I have in one of the toughest industries in the world. And then to find myself with several projects lined up next year that to me are going to be life-changing and career-changing. And I'm just looking forward. I'm looking forward to it.
I got a lot to look forward to, a lot going on. I love it.
It's good stuff.
How can people follow you on social media, speaking of social media, so that they can keep up with all of your fantastic things happening?
So the only thing I really do is Instagram.
I hear that.
Yeah. My God, there's so many. So that one is just John Stoddard Official. No H because I am a Jonathan abbreviated. So it's just J-O-N Stoddard Official.
There you go.
And other than that, I'd say that's the best way to kind of like stay tuned and follow. Because now with Threads and Poe, like everyone wants to hear your thoughts on every single thing.
There's like a Blue Sky thing too, which I don't even know. Like my friends keep trying to invite me to Blue Sky. I'm like, I can't.
What's Blue Sky?
I guess it's like a new type of Twitter thing. I don't know. There's Threads too.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. It's too much. Go read a book.
Everyone's got Reels. Just blah, blah, blah. It's so wild.
I know.
None of it makes any sense because we're all just posting the same thing.
I know.
And then you just take the same video and you're just like, everyone's just uploading to try to keep up with the right. Like, ugh.
Yeah. We need roller skates and parks and books again. And that's it.
Oh,
but it was so lovely talking to you. I'm so excited to see where your career goes. And thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks again to Jonathan for coming on the show and hanging out with me for a little bit. Make sure to check out his new movie, A Royal Christmas Holiday, and follow him on Instagram to keep up with all of his fun stuff. If you haven't hit that subscribe button by now, subscribe to the show wherever you're listening to it. Make sure to leave us some love in the form of rates and reviews. And until next time, thanks for coming in.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side panel?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.